Got to say, I was surprised by the Melbourne Racing Club buying part of the ATC slot for the Everest on October 19, because we all probably thought that Godolphin would get that spare spot that was up for grabs after the Damien Flower fiasco. But the Melbourne Racing Club buying into the ATC slot for the Everest? Who would have thought, Adam Pengelly? Good morning.
Morning, TK. Morning, Laurie. How good? How good? I think it's outstanding cross-promotion and something that I think is going to add a lot more to the Everest concept this year, obviously, given they're definitely going to run a series of races down there, culminating with the Scalacci Stakes on Caulfield Guineas Day. It's a golden ticket winning your in-race. So it's the first time of cross-border cooperation or collaboration we've seen for a while, TK, isn't it? For the last 18 months or 2 years, these two race clubs pairing up for the Everest, and we'll wait and see how it works out. I think the other thing I find really fascinating about this, guys, that the Scalacci Stakes will be on Caulfield Guineas Day, which is only 7 days before the Everest the following week, which is also on the same day as Caulfield Cup Day. So I'm not going to give the winner of that race too long to sort of take stock and get ready for the Everest. It'll be a really quick turnaround. But having said that, just the promotion they're going to get out of this slot with the lead-up races like the Regal Roller, the Heath and the Testarossa all counting towards the Scalacci Stakes is going to be a major talking point for the next few weeks.
Yeah, so they get more bang for their buck than you think, because there's actually a few races involved, not just the one with the lead-ups involved, Adam.
Yeah, that's right, TK. And I think you have to run in one of those lead-ups to qualify for the Scalacci Stakes in the first place.
Yeah.
And then the winner of that race goes into Everest. So this is going to be another promotional tool that Racing New South Wales and the ATC will be able to leverage, given it's going to be down there in Melbourne over the course of a couple of months. And I think it's a really, really good move, guys.
Yeah, so you've got to run in one of those races.
Get into the Scalacci.
Yeah, so if the winner of the Scalacci doesn't necessarily go through, if it hasn't qualified through one of these races,
they have to have run
in one of those races and then win the Scalacci, or if they're the highest placed runner after participating in those races. Is that right?
Yeah, you're exactly right. That's my understanding. So if the winner of the Scalacci Stakes hasn't run in any of the lead-ups prior, they're not eligible to contest the Everest, which is basically the first horse past the post to contest one of the lead-up races. So you could finish, third, fourth, fifth, and maybe the highest placed horse that's contested one of those lead-up races, you'll get the ticket into the Everest. That's my understanding of it at the moment.
Beautiful. And Godolphin, they weren't going to miss out, were they?
No, it was a hot tip around town, wasn't it, for the last week or two, that they put their hat in the ring and submitted a tender to take up Damien Flowers' forfeited spot for this year. And Racing New South Wales came back yesterday and announced that Godolphin will pick up that slot. So I suppose the question mark is now that which horse are they going to try and prepare for the race? I suppose they've got a fairly good arsenal to choose from when you think about it. Osborne Bulls is there. They've got Elise, even Trekking, who ran so well on the Stradbroke. I'm not quite sure whether James wants to push some of his two-year-olds from this season, or his three-year-olds next season, like with the likes of Microphone and Hanley, those horses towards the Everest. And he wants to try and keep them in black type grade against their own age and potentially sex as well. But when you consider they've got Elise, Osborne Bulls and Trekking, they're going to come up with a pretty good representative no matter what happens in the next few months.
Mm. I thought Stephen Baster went pretty good on Ninja Warrior last night.
Did you watch it, TK?
Yeah, I did. I watched it on IQ, yeah.
Yeah. He did really well, actually. He did fantastic. Bit of a surprise to see him on the show. Obviously, he knew sort of filtered out the last few weeks that he'd entered, and he made it to the second last obstacle before he eventually crashed out into the water and soaking wet. But I think Steve was happy to make it that far. It was a tremendous effort. And just goes to show how strong and how athletic some of these jockeys are, given that he was given a massive height disadvantage compared to some of the other competitors on that concept. But his strength was remarkable. So, yeah, well done to Steve. I thought it was a fantastic effort.
Yeah, he went into the water at the squirrel, they call it, TK.
That's the old
they
squirrel,
call
eh?
It the squirrel. That's where he...
How cold did it look down there? And why would you shoot that in Melbourne?
Oh, it would have been summer.
Have you seen the audience, mate? They were rugged up like it was the Arctic.
It is Melbourne.
Okay. It probably was summertime there.
What about Nash Rewilla? Returns to racing tomorrow. Is that right?
Yeah, no, it's next week, Laurie.
Next week.
Yep. He's going to return at Kembla Grange next Thursday. So there's been some conjecture about whether Nash would base himself either in Sydney or potentially down in Melbourne, where his young son is looking at entering Racing Victoria's apprentice program down there. I think Nash has been swayed by a few people in his ear. He's decided to resume his career up here in Sydney. So next Thursday at Kembla Grange will be his first meeting back. I reckon, guys, he's going to be in for a huge season next year, Nash. So we saw it with James McDonald last year when he came off a long break. He's come out and won the premiership in an absolute cancer. And I'm not saying that Nash is going to produce something similar, but I think Nash will hit the ground running. Just given the jockey ranks, they're going to lose a couple of big guns in terms of Blake Shin and coming months. There might be a bit of a void to fill. I reckon Nash will come back and ride plenty of winners the next 6 to 12 months.
Bets today at Warwick Farm?
Yeah, race 4, number 1, Front Sight is my best bet on the program. TK, I think he's got class advantage with some of his rivals here. I know he's short enough, but I think he should get the job done and win. And I thought the best value was in the last race. Race 7, Touch of Mint, number 5. But her trials have been pretty good so far this campaign. It might be a touch short for a 1,200 metres first up, but she races well on a home track at Warwick Farm, and she should be in the right part of the track going wide later in the day. So race 4, number 1, the best, and race 7, number 5, the best value on the program.
Thank you, Adam.
Thanks, boys.